Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Scott Cullen. You've seen my work in The Athletic and McKean's Hockey. I have a new gig writing for TorontoHockeyNow.com, where I'm the Leafs beat reporter. So I figure that gives me a little bit closer look at the NHL, specifically, I guess, in Toronto, but that will keep me on top of things in a little bit more designed fashion. And today, we're going to continue with our off-season reports. I know the season has started, but the scramble to get into a new role has caused me to miss the season opening deadline. We still have the Arizona Coyotes and Anaheim Ducks to go, so may as well finish them off. And we'll get into the Arizona Coyotes, and honestly, this one's going to be painful, so brace yourself. Thanks for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen. We are free and available on all platforms. So let's get things started by looking at the forwards for the Arizona Coyotes. And as I said, this is not going to be pretty, so brace yourself. Right now on the top line, left wing, we've got Louis Erickson. And boy, Louis Erickson in his prime was a pretty solid two-way player. And I think the problem in Erickson's case is that when he had an expiring deal coming up with Boston, he had a really great year, which he cashed in, no doubt about it. But it wasn't a great fit for him to go to the Vancouver Canucks. And everybody in Vancouver, or maybe not everybody, some people in Vancouver kind of talked themselves into Erickson playing alongside the Sedins and it being this magical combination without really looking at the length of the contract for Louis Erickson and how it could pose a potential problem. And it certainly did. He was a massive albatross contract. And so I think his play in Vancouver got graded worse because of his contract. I don't think he is as awful as sort of public perception is. At the same time, you don't want to be a team that's playing Louis Erickson on your first line, not in 2021. And so right now that's the way it's going for Arizona. And I think what the idea might be is that Louis Erickson can at least be a defensive conscience on this line, because the others are not great defensively. So at center, we've got Nick Schmaltz. And Schmaltz, pretty good playmaker and can create some offense, but not the most sturdy two-way center, and probably not a guy who should be a first-line center in the National Hockey League. We've done a few of these previews where you can see some teams who are a little light when it comes to talent, and Arizona is definitely one of them. Now, on the right side of the top line is Phil Kessel. And Kessel, probably in an ideal world, is not a first-line right winger either, because we found the most of his success. Like, if you look at his best years with Pittsburgh, certainly, he was in a supporting role. You find him a middle six role where he can take advantage of matchups, and then you really get the best out of him. But the truth be told, Kessel has shown that he can score under just about any circumstances. He scored for Arizona last year. He certainly scored in Pittsburgh, scored a bunch in Toronto when he was the guy for the franchise. So Phil Kessel is going to find a way to put pucks in the net and accumulate points. The question is, I guess, he's in the last year of a deal. So at some point this season, it seems almost assured that Kessel should be on the move. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how that market plays out, which teams can talk themselves into Phil Kessel. Because over the course of his career, you know, there are all kinds of reports and enough smoke that there is some fire to it, I'm sure, that Phil Kessel can be a handful in terms of, you know, what you're dealing with off the ice. I mean, the guy shows up to play every game and he produces points. And as we saw in playoff runs with the Pittsburgh Penguins, he shows up when it matters. And so all that stuff should be really good. But I think there's some frustration that has accumulated over Kessel, and there will be some coaches who are probably go to their general manager and say no thank you if they go offering up an acquisition of Phil Kessel. But at some point this year, Phil Kessel probably ends up on a contending team, and that probably will give Kessel a boost because he'll get to play with better players. But in the meantime, he's going to be leaned on a lot because he's one of the few guys in Arizona who can generate offense. To the second line, Second line left winger. So it's not bad enough we have Louis Erickson at first line left wing. On second line left wing, we've got Andrew Ladd, who, again, a guy who cashed in a big free agent contract, but it looked like trouble from day one, and it has been. And now Andrew Ladd, in the last couple of years, has barely played in the National Hockey League. Now, there have been some injuries, but there's also sort of an element of the New York Islanders just not wanting Andrew Ladd to be part of the squad. And so, I mean, for Andrew Ladd's sake, I kind of hope that he could come back here and play and show that he's a National Hockey League player. I mean, he had some very good years during his peak, but he's also in his mid-30s now, so he's quite a ways from that peak. And so having Andrew Ladd, Louis Erickson as your top two left wingers, that's a good sign of trouble for the season's Coyotes. Now, at second line center, we've got Johan Larsson. And Larsson has established that he can be a pretty solid checking center in the National Hockey League. And if he was playing as your third or fourth line center, you could probably be pretty satisfied with what you get out of him. He's shown that he can handle defensive responsibility. Now, the trouble is he doesn't score a whole lot. And so to have him in your top six, that does make things a little bit dicey. And so we'll see how this evolves. I would expect that at some point during this season, the Coyotes have to have a better option down the middle of the ice as their second line center than Johan Larsson. Now on the right side of this line, we've got Ryan Zingel, who has scored 20 goals multiple times in the National Hockey League, and so that gives him some credibility with this group. But he's also bounced around quite a bit, and this is the kind of player that, yes, Arizona should be taking a shot at, but you take a shot at it hoping that you can kind of juice Zingel's value by giving him a big role and you know, power play time and so on. And if he produces enough, well, then you turn around and trade him too. It doesn't look great when your second line right now is Andrew Ladd, Johan Larsson, Ryan Zingel. To the third line, and now third line actually has some potential, and I could see some of these guys playing higher in the lineup. So on left wing is Lawson Kraus. And Kraus he's a big physical winger, but he can skate pretty well and might be able to score a little bit. Not that I expect huge totals, but a 15-goal season would not be out of the realm of possibility for Lawson Kraus. He also might rack up 200, 250 hits. And so it's probably worth, again, a rebuilding Coyotes team, giving Lawson Kraus some reps this year to find out, you know, whether he could be more than a third-line left winger. And if he is, if what he is a third-line left winger who can bang bodies and chip in a little bit offensively, that's fine. But maybe find out if he could be more than that, too. At center, we've got Travis Boyd, who has bounced around a little bit in recent seasons, but I think in basically all of his stops, I don't know about Vancouver at the end of last year, he didn't play a whole lot, but in Washington and Toronto, I think Boyd basically showed that he was a fourth liner, part-time player, but he showed that he's more skilled than the typical fourth liner. And so I think he's the kind of player who should get a bit of an opportunity with Arizona to maybe see if he can be more than just a fringe NHLer. And that's kind of been what Travis Boyd has been. But at the same time, when he's played, he's been productive enough that you would think he can make something happen. And so I think there's some value here to playing a line of Kraus and Boyd. And then on the right side, Clayton Keller, that this line actually has some skill to go through with it. Maybe what you want to do, though, is find favorable matchups to make it work for these guys. You know, if you can avoid top defenders and checking lines of the other team, well, that might work a little bit better. Keller he's one of the guys on this team that has a higher ceiling offensively, but he's also been kind of inconsistent throughout his career. But at the same time, he's also pretty young. And so I think when you're looking at this Coyotes team, and there's not a lot to look for even for the immediate future, you know, this is a team playing for the future of guys who aren't even here yet. And Clayton Keller is kind of one of these guys that you'd like to develop and see what he can become, and whether he's even part of the long-term future of the Coyotes or whether he's going to end up ultimately being flipped because, you know, by the time the players they draft in the next few years start to really make it to the National Hockey League, Clayton Keller might be on his way elsewhere. So if you're looking at the immediate value here, you know, Clayton Keller does have a chance to be one of the Coyotes' top scorers if he's given the opportunity, and it doesn't make any sense if the Coyotes don't give him the opportunity. To the fourth line we go. We've got Antoine Roussel on the left side, a hard-driving, agitating winger, but he's also getting a little older and not as effective as he was, say, in his best years in Dallas. And, you know, if you want a guy who's going to stir the pot, Roussel can still do that, but I also don't know that he's going to be hugely effective. As a fourth-line center, we've got Jay Beagle, and, you know, Beagle, I mean, he was absurdly overpaid when Vancouver signed him as a free agent, and good for him. He you know, played well with the Washington Capitals to earn a contract, but you could tell from the jump that it wasn't going to be a great idea to sign him to big money. It just, that's not what his contributions were, even at the best of times. And so Jay Beagle filling in the fourth line spot here is fine. The right side, we've got Christian Fisher, who had shown some promise, I guess, early with the Coyotes, but the past few years, he's kind of been fading out of relevance for them. And so I'll be surprised, I guess, if Christian Fisher kind of turns it around and becomes something significant. If he ends up even kind of maintaining a regular fourth line role, that's probably a positive. Now, we have a few bodies who are kind of in competition here. And the one that is wild to me that he's been a healthy scratch recently is Dmitry Yashkin. And like the Coyotes signed Yashkin after he played the past two seasons in the KHL. But he scored 69 goals in the KHL the past years. I don't care what he did in the one game he played so far for Arizona this year. It couldn't have been bad enough that you decide to not play him anymore. And so I think it's unconscionable that Dmitry Yashkin is already being healthy scratched on this team. When you see who is in this lineup, there is no reason for the Coyotes not to give him a bit of a leash and see what he can do in the National Hockey League coming back. You know, he was a very reliable checking forward earlier in his career with St. Louis and then a little bit with Washington. But the fact that he's been able to score in the KHL to the degree that he scored should make Arizona, if they're at all interested in at least pretending to be competitive this year, they should be giving Yashkin a chance to find out whether he can score in the National Hockey League. And they also have Liam O'Brien, who's a fourth-line grinder. He adds some depth. And then at some point, Alex Galchenyuk could be in the mix. He's injured right now. But, you know, I suppose there's a world in which you add Galchenyuk and Yashkin to the Coyotes lineup, and you have a little bit more talent up front, and maybe that makes you more competitive. But the way things are going, I'm not sure that they're trying to be. And so that is, I guess, one of the fundamental problems with the Coyotes this season. So, I mean, you look at this forward group overall, it's no wonder that the Coyotes are coming into this season with very low expectations. There are just not enough players to generate offense. And the guys who you have kind of in defensive roles are a lot of guys who are kind of near the end of the line. And, you know, that can be Louis Erickson and Andrew Ladd and Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel. I mean, that's a lot of guys who, you know, could be in their last season in the league if we're just basing this on merit. So anyway, I think the Coyotes, their plans are obviously not for this season, but I'm a little bit frustrated even looking at this lineup, even for a team that doesn't appear intent on winning anyway. So when we continue, we will look at defense and goaltending, and believe it or not, it actually might be a little bit better down on that side of the ice. Does it sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Thanks for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. So let's continue with the defense and goaltending of the Arizona Coyotes. And on defense, top pair, we got Jacob Chychrun. And there aren't a lot of players that you can be, I guess, satisfied, happy with on the Arizona roster right now, but Chychrun is one of them. He Took a really nice step forward last year and has become a premier defenseman in the league. I'm not sure he's quite Norris Trophy, and it's obviously going to be very difficult to get into that discussion when you're playing on a team that's going to be this bad. But I think Jacob Chychrun is a legit number one guy to put on your blue line and build around him. Now, on the right side, we got Anton Strålman. And Strålman, for many years, was an undervalued player who the analytics would show you these great shot differentials, and it ended up cashing in for Strålman. He had signed some quality free agent contracts and performed well, but we're also at the stage of his career where I think he started to decline enough that he should not be on a first pair in the National Hockey League at this point. And I think in an ideal world, if he's finishing off his contract somewhere as a third pair defenseman, that would probably be okay. But on the first pair, that's a big ask for Anton Strålman at this stage. Now, as a partner to Jacob Chychrun, maybe it works out okay because Chychrun, might be able to carry him a little bit. To the second pair, on the left side, we got Shane Gostisbehere. And Gostisbehere was, he kind of fell out of favor in Philadelphia, but when he played, even last season, he could generate some offense, a lot of shots, and there's value to that. And I think even with this Arizona team that lacks talent and doesn't appear very intent on winning, you could see Gostisbehere kind of igniting their attack a little bit. And probably only a little bit, because I don't think he has the supporting cast to play the way that he would at his best. But there's a world where Shane Gostisbehere can be a third pair defenseman who runs a power play and plays quite successfully in that role in the National Hockey League. But what's going on in Arizona, I don't know that it's necessarily going to bring the best out of him. At the very least, he's going to get an opportunity to play. And so whether it's an opportunity to play that will make him look good, I don't know that we're there. On the right side, we've got rookie Victor Soderstrom. One of the most important facets, I guess, for this year's Coyotes is to develop the young players that are in the lineup. And so a guy like Soderstrom is really important. It's going to be a tough year. They're going to get outshot on a pretty regular basis. And outscored on a pretty regular basis. But you need a guy like Soderstrom to develop, to gain the experience, and he's going to take some lumps, but you kind of need the lumps to not be too bad. It's okay if you bump your shin. It's not okay if you fracture your tibia. we want to make him stronger in the end of this. And so I think to the Coyotes, faint credit here, they have added some veteran defensemen who could help Soderstrom in his development. And so when you look at this top four for Arizona, it obviously doesn't look great. But could it be a passable group? It might be fine. And now to the third pair, we've got a few bodies here of interest. I guess Ilya Lyubushkin, who's been a very stay-at-home type defenseman in the National Hockey League, but reliable enough that you can play him on the third pair. Maybe he moves up from time to time. But I think Lyubushkin as part of your third pair and maybe do some penalty killing, that kind of thing, I think he's okay in that role. Then there's Connor Timmins, who was acquired from the Colorado Avalanche as part of the Darcy Kuemper trade before the season started. And Timmins is another of these young defensemen that Arizona should be trying to develop and hoping that they kind of come out on the other side of this as legitimate NHL defensemen. And Timmins showed some promise with Colorado, but he was also kind of stuck on this super deep and talented blue line. He couldn't get a ton of reps there in the way that he should with Arizona. And so I think if you look at this defense and you look at Jacob Chychrun being kind of a cornerstone piece and you say Victor Soderstrom and Connor Timmins are guys to develop for the long run, okay, there's something there to be encouraged about that it could be part of the future. But I don't know that I expect them to, win a whole lot because of this defense. When you pair it with the abysmal group of forwards, they're still fighting uphill. To the goaltending, and right now it looks like Carter Hutton is the starting goaltender for Arizona. And while that's not a great situation, I mean, he's in his mid-30s, has mostly been a backup goaltender in his career. And I think trying to make him a starting goaltender this year, it sort of gives away the game a little bit. And this is not much different than Buffalo, who's running Craig Anderson and Dustin Tokarski as their goaltending tandem. I mean, running Carter Hutton, who was in Buffalo before, having him as the number one goaltender in Arizona doesn't show any kind of attempt to win. And Carter Hutton, if you had him as your backup, given what we've seen from him in his career, maybe that's okay. But I think expecting him to be a starter where he ends up playing 45 or 50 games, it's asking for trouble if you're a team trying to win. But if you're not, well, maybe that's just fine. And so in the backup role right now is Karel Vemelka, who played in the Czech League. And the numbers in the Czech League are okay. And not enough that you think, oh, yes, this guy's definitely going to be a star in the National Hockey League, or even a starting goaltender in the National Hockey League. But, given the situation with these Coyotes, you can find out. Play Vemelka 25 or 30 games or more, who knows, kind of depending on how he plays. But give him the opportunity and see whether or not he can be part of this this thing going forward. But overall, when we're looking at the defense, the goaltending, you're still below average. Goaltending is well below average. It might be near the bottom of the league. The defense, as I said, with Chychrun, Soderstrom, Timmins, you got a few things you can kind of be positive about and hopeful. And even, veterans like Strawman and Gostisbehere aren't necessarily going to be terrible. And so, if you have a couple of competent veterans there, a couple of young guys to develop, and then Chychrun, who's the number one guy, you can kind of make a case for the Coyotes' defense. As mentioned several times, when you're kind of making a case for the adequateness of the defense, when you have forwards and goaltending like this, the overall picture still isn't very promising. So when we continue, we'll look into special teams, what the Coyotes need. That might be a long segment. Prospects, and decide the fate of this year's Arizona Coyotes. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many delicious flavors, there's something for everyone. That includes coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, those are my favorite, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you haven't tried all those flavors, go get a mix box, where Built Bar will send you two of each, sample them, decide which ones you like the best, and order more of those, because you have this great variety. You covered 100% chocolate, so not only do you have these great flavors, it ends up being a great tasting snack, and they're healthy too. Built Bars are loaded with protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. To the special teams of the Arizona Coyotes. In the past three seasons, coming into this year, on the power play, 5-on-4 play, the Coyotes are 30th in shots per 60, 45.1. 30th in expected goals per 60, 5.23. 22nd in actual goals per 60, 6.04. This is definitely a need for improvement. And the problem is you don't have the personnel that are going to be able to make it work. I mean, if you take the very top end skill guys from this team, they're still not creating a huge advantage for you on the power play. And so, yes, the power play needs to be better. I don't know that the Coyotes have the wherewithal to do it. There's no amount of X's and O's that are going to be able to get this power play into even league average, given the personnel here. Now, penalty killing during 4-on-5 play, this is interesting, at least to me. In shot attempts against per 60, they're 17th. That's 94.3. In actual shots against per 60, they're also 17th, 51.7. In expected goals against per 60, they're 14th, 6.29. And in actual goals against per 60, 4-on-5 play in the past three seasons, Coyotes are first, 5.68. Otherwise, you look at the shot attempts and shots and quality of shots, they're kind of average as a penalty killing unit. And yet, the lowest goals against per 60. And so you can give some credit to the goaltenders, obviously, and their goaltenders who aren't there anymore, whether it's Darcy Kemper or Antti Raanta or whoever else has kind of contributed to that. But I don't know that you would look at the Coyotes' penalty kill and say, oh, we found the answer to giving up kind of average shots against and still having the lowest goals against. So if you have this Arizona Coyotes team and you end up with an average penalty killing unit, you should probably be happy enough with that. But I think overall their special teams are not great because, well, their personnel isn't great and they can't really take advantage of the opportunities. So what do these Coyotes need? Well, I mean, much like the Buffalo Sabres, everything and lots of it. They don't have goaltending that is NHL caliber right now. They do have, as I've mentioned, kind of the makings of a passable defense. And their forwards, I mean, you could overhaul at least half their forwards make them a competent NHL team, a team that has legitimate playoff hopes, all that. It's going to take time. They have loaded up on draft picks, and that does give them a chance. But, I mean, if you're drafting a bunch of guys in 2022, I mean, it's, what, 2025, 26 before you're really getting the payoff? And so that's where, these are going to be some tough years for the Arizona Coyotes. And I don't know if any of them will be tougher than this year because you look at this roster and this team is going to have it tough most nights. So when you have this team that is totally, gutted and in a rebuilding effort, there should be room for prospects to get into the lineup. And so there are some to consider for this year. So there's defenseman Victor Soderstrom, as I mentioned. Started last year in the Allsvenskan in Sweden, their second division there. He played a dozen games there, picked up 6 points. Came to the American Hockey League where he played 32 games for Tucson. He had 10 points. He was also minus 16. And yes, I know plus minus has its flaws. But if I see somebody who's minus 16 in 32 games, I'm a little worried. But he's also a young defenseman and they're trying to give him lots of reps. And so Soderstrom ended up playing 4 games for the Coyotes last year. Got a couple of points there. But he's somebody who needs to get lots of reps this year get the opportunity to show, can he be a legit top four defenseman in the NHL? I think that's the expectation. And no time like the present to find out whether he can do it. Their center, Barrett Hayton, the Coyotes reached for him at the draft. I mean, I think they talked themselves into it because he's a center. But the new management group is probably ruining the decision. He went ahead of Philip Zadina and Quinn Hughes for a couple. You might prefer to have that kind of talent instead. But, I mean, Hayton last year started in Finland in Liga with Ilves Tampere, had 4 assists in 8 games there, had 10 points in 26 games with Tucson in the American Hockey League, minus 18 in those 26 games. Again, plus minus is not the greatest stat, but fair to worry about when you're minus 18 in 26 games. And Hayton had 3 points in 14 games for the Coyotes last year. And, when you looked at this roster, this had to be a great opportunity for Barrett Hayton to stick and make the National Hockey League, because they should have been able to plug him in as a second line center and just, let him sink or swim. And they're not even prepared to do that. And so that's discouraging, I would say, because Hayton now has to go to the American Hockey League this year and kind of work his way back up, prove that he deserves another shot in the National Hockey League. And if it turns out that, he's going to be a bust, well then, there's been a missed opportunity here for the Coyotes, both in terms of the draft and then in terms of evaluation, that if he's going to be a bust, use him as a trade chip to get something else before it becomes apparent to the rest of the hockey world. Then there's left winger Matias Michelli. Michelli played in Liga last year, but he was there for the whole year with Ilves Tampere. He had 39 points in 51 games. And so when you have Barrett Hayton goes there and he only plays 8 games and he has 4 points, but Hayton was a much, more highly touted prospect for the Coyotes, and he didn't blow the doors off them in Liga. And then you look at what Michelli did, and that's reasonably productive season. The kind of thing that, okay, get him in the American Hockey League this year, see if he can score there, and then, give him a shot at some point with the Coyotes. Now, he's a small forward, and, that means he'll have to prove that he can play. But I think if you're the Coyotes, that's the kind of player you want to give the opportunity to. If he plays in the American Hockey League and he's producing there, then give him the call up to the National Hockey League. Same with right winger Jan Jenik, who in Tucson last year, had 14 points in 29 games, scored a couple goals in two games for the Coyotes. And he's in the same boat, really, that a young forward who you can play in the American Hockey League. And if he's starting to produce there and looks like he might be ready to kind of test the waters of the NHL, you can give him an opportunity. Defenseman Kyle Capobianco, who's kind of been a prospect for a while now and knocking on the door, he's currently injured and would probably be the seventh defenseman on the Coyotes roster at the moment. And he had 13 points in 20 games in the American Hockey League last year, played a couple of games for the Coyotes. And he's, as I said, he's kind of been a prospect for a while, kind of on the bubble. And, you know, it'd be nice if he could get healthy and get a chance to play. I suppose defenseman Cam Dineen, he's headed into his fourth American Hockey League season. I don't know if he's ever going to really make the jump, because the reports on Cam Dineen are that he's a solid player who's not especially good at any one thing, and that may not get him out of the National Hockey or into the National Hockey League, because he's a steady American Hockey League defenseman. You know, maybe there's a chance, but keep an eye on that. And then in goal, Joseph Kojnash, who the Coyotes acquired in the Aiden Hill trade when they sent him to San Jose. I thought Kojnash would have had a shot to be the backup in Arizona to start the year, but Vimelka managed to get the job. But you know, we'll see how the goaltending goes for Arizona, and even if there's an injury, Kojnash could find his way into the NHL for at least some opportunity. He played 8 games in the American Hockey League last year, 10 games for San Jose down the stretch, and he wasn't great in either spot, but he's only like 23. I think if they send him to the American Hockey League this year and he happens to play really well, that would put him on track as a goaltending prospect. So, as I say, this is a bad hockey team, and a bad hockey team, at the very least, out of this season, they should be able to take take some positives that, okay, we're going to get these young players and give them a chance to play and see if we can make it work. And not necessarily for all of them. If it ends up being a couple of those players that prove that they can be in the National Hockey League, then you move forward with those guys and get ready to move on and draft more. That is the one area where the Coyotes are really set up, is that they have a ton of draft picks, and it's going to give them a chance in the long run to be something. The problem is you're just going to have to be really patient, because it's one thing to have, 8 picks in the first 2 rounds in the 2022 draft. I mean, that's just a monster draft haul waiting to happen, but it's going to be 3-4 years probably before most of those guys come through. I mean, if you end up with the top overall pick, well, that guy can jump into your lineup next year, but the other picks could take some time. This season is going to be a season of pain for the Arizona Coyotes, but I don't think it's going to be the last season of pain for this team. There's going to be some rough years ahead. That's the question we ask for each team is, you know, are they a playoff team, a championship contender, or lottery team? I don't even think there's a question here. The Arizona Coyotes are a lottery team, and they're intentionally so. They're battling the Sabres, most likely for last place overall, but that would put them battling for first in terms of the lottery and a chance to draft Shane Wright. The thing is, even if you do draft Shane Wright and he turns out to be a great player, he's still not going to fix everything that ails the Coyotes. They might get out of this, but it's going to take some time, and it might not be too pretty in the meantime. So there we go for the Arizona Coyotes. that's about as downbeat a podcast as we could get. I mean, Buffalo was pretty down too, but I think they've earned it. So congratulations to them. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Hockey your first listen every day. We will continue on with the Anaheim Ducks. We'll be in the next podcast. We'll finally finish these quote-unquote off-season reports. For the sake of completeness, we have to at least get through the last couple of teams. Make your second listen every day. Make it the Locked On Crosscheck podcast with Mary Clark and Andrew Berkshire. They do a great job there breaking down the game, and I enjoyed being on their season preview episode. enjoy those podcasts. You can check them out on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.